Your bubble.
It's economic anxiety with Rod Oram.
The Labor government. It doesn't generally have the best reputation, at least in my living memory, of what they call business confidence. Nash was often credited with seeing us out of the financial crisis of 2008, but we have just heard from Rod that New Zealand was actually in a pretty good place to see itself out of that crisis anyway. This part, episode 6, has to be split in two. So this is the first half, which focuses on New Zealand politics and the economy. The second half will look at Labour's actual policies around a wellbeing budget and the environmental issues we face in the future. Now, when I did have this chat with Rod, New Zealand's GDP had actually just increased. That's where we start off. New Zealand politics. The National Party is constantly downplaying Labour's ability to handle the economy, and recently it was announced that New Zealand's GDP has gone up by 1%, which is sort of at odds with the low business confidence that gets touted in the media a lot, especially since Labour got into government. What do you think about this?
There's always sort of very complex interaction of issues here around politics, who's in the government, how they're behaving, how business and consumer confidence tracks, and what impact that has on economies. The way I see these things, the data are very clear. In New Zealand and typically other English-speaking countries, whereby actually economies perform better during centre-left governments compared with centre-right governments. So under Democrats and in the US rather than Republicans, under Labour in the UK and New Zealand rather than the Conservatives or the National Party. Because within that, there is still good economic management by the Democrat or the Labour governments. And so those centre-left governments have a, in English-speaking countries, have a good track record on that. I also think that those periods of centre-left government tend to, because they are progressive rather than conservative, tend to coincide with some positive changes in the economy. However, business can sometimes be quite negative about that because at a simple level they don't particularly like change, but they also feel that those governments are becoming too intrusive in business. And those sorts of issues. So that's a, whereas a conservative government lives up to its nature of sort of incremental change and you know, steady as she goes, and being a bit more cautious about what the role of government is in the economy and all the rest. So I think that's quite a standard pattern. In New Zealand, that gets more tribal. So it's very hard to identify actually how many people vote, but it's very hard to identify prominent people in business who would declare that they are centre-left in their politics. Whereas in the US, it's completely possible to be, I'm quoting real-life situation here, to be a chairman of Goldman Sachs, you know, the archetypal Wall Street investment bank, and be a Democrat and go into a Democrat president's administration and be Secretary of the Treasury, or to be a Republican and go into Republican presidents, Secretary of Treasury. I mean, that's happened in recent years. Similarly, in the UK, you can have major figures, prominent figures, successful figures, well-regarded figures in the City of London who are, you know, Labour voting, and make no bones about it. Whereas here in New Zealand, I think there's a far more tribal thing amongst business to tend to vote for National rather than Labour. So I think that's one of the things that makes a change of government from National to Labour a little uneasy for people in business. However, this time around, the election last year, was a very significant change in that pattern. Well, not necessarily, sorry, I'll explain my point. What we saw in about the year leading into the last election, I started to sense, as others were, a shift in the priorities of business and what they wanted from governments. And sure enough, just before the last election in 2016, the New Zealand Herald's Mood of the Boardroom survey showed that businesses' top priorities, at least at the big end of town, you know, major companies, who they were polling, not smaller companies, was about infrastructure, was concerns about affordable housing and inequality and income and productivity growth. This was, in some of these items, were literally bottom of their list 3 years before. It was a very profound shift. It was. It was quite fascinating because that survey gave evidence for something I'd been feeling for a while in my conversations. And at the heart of that, those business leaders were getting pretty fed up with National for being very incremental and in terms of what they were doing and not really dealing with these big issues. So the big end of town was getting quite frustrated with government, the National-led government. I don't know how that then translated into how those people voted. They might still have voted National, I don't know. But to me, that was very significant. So what you're seeing now is, interestingly, perhaps surprisingly, low levels of business confidence, which I think reflect a number of things. First of all, at the big end of town, whilst they want a lot of the things this new government is doing, they're not necessarily sure that the government can actually deliver on them because the government's got a huge amount on its plate. It still hasn't decided what it's going to do on taxation and all kinds of other stuff. And so they're feeling a little uneasy about that. But at the small end of town, it's very obvious in the polling data of those companies. One of the surveys I look at is not the usual ones, like the NZIER one or the ANZ Bank one on business confidence. It's from Manpower, the global employment and recruitment company, which has been doing these global surveys with lots of countries for about 45 years. And their New Zealand data is really interesting. And then what the most recent survey, asking people about their employment prospects or intentions in the fourth quarter, i.e. in October, November, December, was that the net result of those companies saying they were going to hire more versus not hire or reduce employment was a net positive 15%, which put us ninth in the world, ahead of most other countries, even ahead of China, in terms of net hiring. So I think you're seeing some underlying confidence there. But the real weakness in that data was companies with fewer than 10 employees, which of course numerically is a large number of companies, and they are add up to a reasonable proportion of the productive economy, but they're only a small part of the economy nonetheless. And with companies like that, and I spend a bit of time with companies like that, and these are organizations where there are not many people in the business, and so they're so busy working in the business, just making it run every day, they're not at all good at working on the business. So they really worry about having to change anything or the government make more demands on them. So that's why they are substantially pessimistic. So it was very interesting to see the most recent GDP data, with GDP being a lot stronger than the forecast. Now, there were some unexpected aspects of that, as can happen, and some of the underlying signals about future growth are not as strong as that, so there's question marks over that. But it was quite a juxtaposition between how well the economy is actually doing versus how business confidence was looking. But I think that you have to look at that business confidence in a very nuanced way. And so, yes, the government is trying to prove its worth as a steward of the economy, and that's why Grant Robertson is a very conservative finance minister. He's set some very conservative, absolute bottom lines about paying down debt and getting net debt down to low levels, just to keep reinforcing to the business sector that whatever's going on in policy, we're still going to be a conservative government in fiscal terms and how we run the books.
And that's where we have to stop. But next time we hear the second half of this piece about climate change and our future and how this works when it comes to money.
Crisis? What crisis?
That was Economic Anxiety with Rod Oram.